Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Spirits of Fernald, a conversation with Nick Graves. The Walter E. Fernald Developmental Center has a very dark past. A past shaded with sinister and unethical experimentation on developmentally disabled children. From eugenics to feeding children cereals laced with radioactive isotopes. Life inside this facility was not one of rehabilitation or care that it should have been. Today, the campus sits abandoned, a quiet and lonely reminder of a time that many would rather forget. But do the dark shadows of the past still linger in the halls of countless buildings that slowly rot away on this seemingly cursed plot of land? Today, we learn about Fernald's spirits as we talk with paranormal investigator Nick Graves.
Yeah, it started up very, very early on. It was one of the first ones in the United States. It was originally built in Boston and then was moved to Waltham, which is where it resides now. It's completely abandoned. The things that they did over the years and stuff really caused their name to not be so good, even though they try to make positive changes later on. But they would essentially lock up anybody that had disabilities. And these could literally range from just coming from, you know, a poor family, not having anybody really that wants you to take care of you or whatever, to, you know, being blind or deaf or, you know, having mental disabilities and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Everybody would just that had these undesirable traits, they would consider it and would lock them up into this place, which this place is really... at fault, I feel, for a lot of things that kind of came about in our history. They actually helped to pass a bill very early on that essentially they kind of went along the ideals of like eugenics and things like that, where they were trying to essentially, like, in their mind, eradicate any of these human deficiencies by locking them into this place and essentially stopping them from multiplying. Mm-hmm. Stopping these people from breeding, to try and stop, I guess, these deficiencies and whatnot. And they treated these people terribly. I mean, as most of them did, just all sorts of experiments and, you know, things that they obviously, these people would not condone to. These people would not, you know, willingly say, hey, you know, you can go ahead and do this to me. So it was really against these people's wills as well. They would be locked up in really, really unfair, really cruel conditions, left to just basically sit there in their own filth for gosh, who knows how long. You know, anybody that tried to rebel or fight back, you know, even if they're like deaf or blind, you know, they know that there's really nothing wrong with them. They just have these small, you know, things that normal people wouldn't have to deal with. Mm-hmm. But I mean, by all senses, they're totally there. You know, they're with it. They're mentally, you know, completely sound. They are, you know, aware of everything that's happening to them. And, you know, if they would try to fight it or anything, they would get literally just strapped to a chair in that place and just left. And, you can sense a lot of this energy, like, just immediately, like, walking into this abandoned location. It's just, you can, like, feel it all around, like, eyes almost, like, eyes on you. But yeah, it was definitely not a fun place to be.
No, and it's so sad. I mean, to you know that this is how our society treated people with developmental disabilities for such a long period of time, well into the 20th century. I mean, this place. How late was it in operation until?
I believe actually until. Like the early 2000s, it finally got 100% shut down.
Wow.
They basically expanded and expanded and expanded over the years, trying to house, you know, tons and tons of people. Tuberculosis ran through, killed a ton of people. Eventually, you know, things start to try to lean more towards like a more progressive, you know, nature, where they're trying to start to actually understand disabilities and actually try to help these people. But by that point, it was, you know, maybe like 15, 16 people that were housed there, as opposed to like the thousands that were. And then eventually just, you know, history continued to catch up with them. They're still to this day fighting battles in court against people that were housed there and treated unfairly and cruelly up till even into the 80s and 90s. And you were actually running experiments on these children that were housed there, which was real.
And I have actually the Wikipedia article pulled up in front of me, and I want to talk about it, and I want to read some of these things in just a moment of what they did and who supported some of these horrible experiments that. You know, I guess if you look at it in some ways, shapes and forms, it's horribly scary to see what they did. But it's also coming from the prism of what we know to be good or bad in terms of modern medicine. A lot of it very bad now. But at one point in time, people were thinking that they were doing the right thing in some of these cases. I think that's important to look at. It's in no way to whitewash this and be like, oh, it was all good. But There was an element of this is the current modern medicine, whether it be in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, depending on the decade, whatever the modern thing was, people thought that they were, you know, doing what was right. I mean, I can't say with any confidence that the doctors or the researchers there, they weren't like evil scientists. I mean, correct? Or tell me that.
I mean, it's really tough to say. I'm sure there are doctors and stuff that went through some of these, you know, things that did have the purest of intentions and really did want to try to find a solution and stuff. But there were some that I would have to just say were definitely just using these people to, I guess, run their little experiments and stuff. And as far as being... I don't know, having the best intentions, I'd have to say it's hard to really put a finger on that.
Really?
Because some of the things they did outside of even, you know, some of those things like the just letting people sit in their filth.
Yeah, well, that obviously, yeah. I guess I'm talking more about like some of the medical, you know, practices and stuff with what they were looking at, especially like nuclear medicine research in children. Today we look at this and go, you did what? At the same time, though, half of our buildings were being built with asbestos and everything, too. So, it's the perspective that we have to look through things of like later we go, oh, this was a bad idea. But we had they did not know at that moment in time. At least I'm being too hopeful. Maybe I'm being too optimistic that people aren't inherently evil. But there's certainly bad things in everything. I just wonder how much of these people that were there were inherently bad and were looking at these people as not even people and how many were looking at them as people and they thought they were doing what was right for them. Either way, so many people suffered horrendously. Give me some perspective as to who would be admitted to this place. How would they have been admitted to this location? In its earlier years in the like 1900s up until, you know, the 50s, 60s in that area.
So originally it was basically people that would be brought there, you know, families that couldn't take care of their mentally disabled children or what have you. But then eventually they started to try to pass that bill that they passed, which was based on the ideals of eugenics. And it was, they at that point were allowed to forcibly put people into this place, which is what I thought was very wrong. They were, now they're making it to where, okay, now we can come and get you because we think you're undesirable and we can force you to be locked up here. And during the World War, actually, they went through the entire building and locked up anybody that was Japanese, Italian, anybody of those descents. Yeah, would lock them up against their will, even if they were staff. Even if they were staff, which is, that blew my mind when I was reading this stuff about this place.
Yeah.
You know, I had already been like, you know, maybe two times. So now I'm like interested in the place. It was really active. Reading all this stuff, and I'm like, yeah, now I've just got to keep going back. Like, I want to see what this place was all about.
Wow. Okay, you know? I take all that back. It's much worse than I thought it was.
Yeah, you know, you keep reading, and the like, you go down the rabbit hole, and you're like, wow, this place was really insane.
Yeah, because like, you hear about, you know, places like this that were either, you know, mental health facilities or asylums and whatnot, and some you can look at and go, these people did have good intent, but it was the medicine, the practices were wrong because they didn't know any better. And some places you look at as you dig deeper and you go, these people did not have good intent. they were just messed up, and then in turn messed up so many other people. I mean, just to put it in perspective, as you're telling me these stories and as I'm reading more about what was going on with Walter E. Fernald, who Fernald being the namesake of the location, the big advocate for eugenics, the school viewed as a model education facility in the field of mental, and this is a term they used at the time, mental retardation, obviously not used anymore. It was renamed in his honor in 1925 following his death the previous year. The institution was involved in several different procedures that used the residents as test subjects, some of which include sterilization and radiation experimentation. And that radiation experimentation, that's scary. When I'm looking at this, and here's this to put it in perspective for the audience, and then we can start jumping into hearing more about what you discovered as you started to dig into this. The Fernald School was the site of the 1946 to 53 joint experiments by Harvard University and MIT. So this isn't just like Joe Blow found how to get some nuclear or some radioactive shit out of Arizona deserts and then, you know, bring it in here to experiment with. This is funded by Harvard and MIT. It exposed young male children to tracer doses of radioactive isotopes. Documents obtained in 1994 by the United States Department of Energy revealed these details. The experiments were conducted in part and sponsored by, this is disturbing, the Quaker Oats Company.
So, there it is.
So I'm just picturing Wilford Brimley in there experimenting with children and radioactivity, which is, I'm sure is not true.
I'd hope not.
Or the Quaker Oats Man on the actual box, literally the Quaker Oats Man. MIT professor of nutrition Robert S. Harris led the experiment, which studied the absorption of calcium and iron. The boys were encouraged to join a science club, which offered large portions of food, parties and trips to the Boston Red Sox baseball games. So they bribed them essentially by going to baseball games to be part of this club where they could poison them with radioactive isotopes. They ate iron-enriched cereals and calcium-enriched milk for breakfast in order to track absorption. Several radioactive calcium tracers were given orally or intravenously. In another study, 17 subjects received iron supplement shots containing radioisotopes of iron. Neither the children or their parents gave adequate informed consent for participation in the study. So this is why we have parent sign-off sheets today. It's because somebody discovered their children were going to baseball games and then being fed radiation cereal. It's like, what? These Frosted Flakes just taste a little different. I don't know why. They glow in the dark. I mean, Jesus.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just, it's so disturbing. The school also participated in studies of thyroid function in patients with Down syndromes and their parents. The study showed that the iodine metabolism was similar to normal controls. Wow. I mean, just wow.
There's court cases to back all that.
Yeah. And it goes on. I mean, there's lawsuits that still look like they go on almost to this day, well into the 2010s. In November 2020, the site became home to the Greater Boston. Okay, that's out of this. But my goodness, just horrific. So how did you first hear about this location, and what, when you started digging, what were some of the things that really stood out to you as disturbing beyond what we just talked about? Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe, or visit thegravetalks.com.